Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by Loot Crate. Go to lootcrate.com/filthycasuals, enter the promo code Filthy Casuals, and you'll get $3 off a new subscription.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. You've got myself, Tommy Dasilow, sitting to my right. You've got one of my partners in crime, Ben Vanell.
Oh, lock me up. I'm a bad boy.
As Ben describes it, he likes to say that he's sitting to your alt-right these days.
That is slander, and that is not true. And I will take you down, and all my friends will hack all of your bloody things, and they'll dox you, and you'll get swatted and all that shit.
Yeah, well, I've proven my point.
And who was that chiming in just then? Why, it's the Pepe of this podcast, Adam Knox.
That's me. Oink, oink, I nearly said, but he's a frog.
I said Pepe, not Porky.
I'm just so used to people calling me Porky.
I have to apologise for my voice being a little bit out of order.
It's a pony. It's a little horse.
I was starting to get sick. We had our gig that we run every week, yeah. Catfish Comedy, last night. I overindulged a little too much after the gig.
Yeah. In comedy?
Yeah. I had too much comedy. It made me sick. Sick to death of bloody laughing so much. But, Knox, we were commenting that we got to see something quite wonderful yesterday evening. Do you know what I'm talking about?
What was that?
We were sitting around with this man's over here, Ben Vanell.
Oh, yeah.
Famed for loving a ghost, a good ghost from a social situation. Loves it. Have we talked about this on the show before? Your propensity for just, we'll all be out, we'll all be having a wonderful time.
Yes.
And then you'll just disappear. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you're nowhere to be seen.
Yeah.
Suddenly he stands up and goes, Tommy, your voice is too annoying. I cannot
be. Next thing you know, where is he? But last night we were sitting around and we were around a table and you were boxed in a corner and you very gingerly had to stand up and go, guys, I'm gonna go. Can you please move and let me out? And we were speculating. We're like, I bet he hated that.
Yeah.
And I messaged you to follow up, and our suspicions were confirmed.
Yeah.
You were fucking spewing.
Yeah.
Sucked in.
What is it about saying goodbye to people before you leave that you hate?
I think that people won't care, so I don't want to interrupt.
That is an insane. Just wave.
Like that. Like, I don't want to interrupt, basically.
Everyone likes to say goodbye, especially to you.
Fuck!
Well, because
I felt like a deer trapped in, like, a corner. I just wanted to, like, spring away and get hit by a car.
Is that why you're trying to scale the wall that we were sitting against for 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Because me and Knox were talking about this afterwards, because I first properly got to know you when we went to Japan together.
Yeah.
So we're just one-on-one going out.
Yeah.
No opportunity for ghosting.
No.
Although, knowing what I now know about you, I bet you thought of it at least once or twice.
No, I couldn't. You can't do that.
Hey, he's in the toilet. I could just disappear back to the Airbnb right now.
No.
And then when we started hanging out with other people back in Melbourne, all of a sudden it started happening. I'm like, what is this guy's fucking problem?
Yeah.
I just like to ghost. I'm a phantom.
It doesn't make people think that you're like a ninja. Everyone knows you just like called an Uber without saying anything.
Because it's interesting the fact that you think that people aren't going to care. Like, you doing that makes people think that you hate them.
Totally, yes. It has exactly the opposite effect of like, thank God I didn't have to say goodbye to Ben. But it's like, why didn't Ben just say goodbye?
Yeah.
He just left like we're nothing to him. Like we were goddamn bugs on his near him.
No one notices when I leave.
Everyone does.
I will say though, the times that I have done a ghost, fuck, it feels good. And so I understand. I understand
especially
what going to it full time.
A big party or something when there's like, you know, a bunch of people you're going to have to walk around and fucking say goodbye to. Never do that.
Because I've
always
had many
just leave.
Thwarted attempts at a ghost. You know, sometimes you think it's like I can just walk out here, but you see there's someone lurking around the front door and they kind of eyeball you, and then you're stuck doing a 10-minute goodbye to them.
Yeah.
But when you pull it off, when you actually do it, I got to say there is an element of like really feeling.
No,
like
it is annoying when like you want to sneak out, you think you've made it, and then someone catches you, and then it's like, oh, 10 months community service. We caught you in the school.
In the bank. Why do you say school?
Because you're not going to get community service for being in a bank after hours.
You
might have just been graffiti. I was just graffitiing the school.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. Being there at night is the least pedophile time to be at a school.
Wait a minute. Why did you say the word pedophile?
What were you drawing? What was the graffiti?
It was a big word.
Yes.
The word was down with homework. That's only one word, right? I don't know. I never did my homework.
Hotmail.com.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm so hoarse today, because I was just screaming at the top of my lungs, where is Ben?
Thanks in part to a listener of the show, Mick, as well. We met him last night.
So the reason that I think it's fine to ghost in the moment is because I'm drunk. That's when I ghost is when I'm too drunk to stay.
I loved it last. Just the look on your face was just bliss. I wish I could see it again and again.
Try this
so good.
And see if you find it a nice middle ground. This is what I do. I'll always just get to the point where I'm about to walk away, then go, bye, everybody, and then walk away.
That's good. Not stopping, but doing a goodbye. So here's a challenge for the listeners. If you ever happen to find yourself in a social situation with Ben, block all the exits so that he can't escape.
And then light a fire.
And I'll be saying goodbye to everyone.
Guys, we're here to talk about video games. So let's get onto this big release that will be out by the time this goes up.
Yeah.
We're recording this on the evening of Wednesday, December the 14th. December the 15th, Super Mario Run. He's coming out on the iOS, on the App Store.
Is it just on iPhones?
That's a great question.
I believe it is.
I think it is as well.
Because Apple have really gone in hard with it. So
I'm going to double check now.
Yeah, give it a look up.
In typical us fashion, you know, we're here, we're going to speculate and pontificate about something that is not out at the time of this recording but will be out. Well, I mean, who knows? People are probably playing it and listening to this at the same time.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think that you should just go in on the game and listen to the fun sounds of Mario and turn us off entirely. Yeah.
It is exclusive to iOS.
Yeah.
To Apple.
Because Apple have done... I read a thing saying, like, Apple never do this kind of a push. Mm. Like, they're never this in bed with something that's not to do with them.
Yeah.
I mean, like, them having...
Maybe, like, Beats would be the closest. Or, but
U2,
they own Beats, don't they? Oh, yeah, U2.
Yeah. But, I mean, like, them having
U2.
This... them having this... They had, like, a playable demo at Apple stores around the world for the last week, which they've never really done with a game before.
Yeah, I don't know if this is exclusive to this because I don't play a lot of mobile games, but I just went on the App Store now or like, you know, an hour ago to try and to see if it was out yet, and they have a notify button.
I haven't
seen that before.
Yeah, that was up there like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a huge release. This is going to make a ton of money.
I feel like they don't really ever talk about games that much in general.
No,
like they sort of let them be on there, but they're more about like, hey, you can do all your dumb photo bullshit.
Well, for a little while, Apple...
Photos aren't dumb. Photos are useful.
They're memories.
Yeah.
Apple tried to start their own gaming thing with the Apple TV. They have the remote with touch. And I think they were committed to trying it and then it just flopped and they were like, oh no, let's actually get a games company to do it for us.
I feel like there's been a couple of times in the last like 20 years as well when you'll sometimes see in like a magazine back in the day, like Apple's going to bring out a console next year and then it never happens.
Yeah.
Would this be the first time you could say there's a AAA mobile game? Like for a mobile title to get this kind of hype and release.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll talk about this on a minute, but they just basically played a long ad for it on The Tonight Show a week ago. That's huge for any video game,
let alone a phone one.
Yeah. There's been enormous mobile phone games like Pokemon Go and
Angry Birds.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
But that's also...
Flappy Bird.
But Angry Birds was more like it kind of came out and then people started to go, oh wow, this is really cool.
Reverse engineered
In terms of like a hyped release of a mobile game. And it was kind of the same thing with Pokemon Go. I think people were like, oh, Pokemon on a phone, I wonder what that'll be like. And then it kind of took off, whereas this...
I certainly haven't been as aware of one before it's coming out.
Totally.
Yeah.
Before.
Yeah.
So, look, this is our last chance to speculate about it. What do we think? Any thoughts on what's going to be included in the package when we open it up tomorrow?
A little bit of jumping, I reckon.
Wow, bold.
A little bit of coin collecting.
I think you might hear the following few syllables. Ya, wa, and Wahoo.
Uh-huh. Bold.
Yep. And then you start the game or whatever. That had the structure of a joke, but it meant nothing. you can look forward to not being able to play it in train tunnels.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, so this is what's come out in the last couple of days, which is a bit of a bummer, that it needs a persistent internet connection.
Yeah.
So playing it on the plane, that's out of the question.
Yep.
What do you guys think about that? I think that is a huge bummer.
As someone who is about to go over his mobile data cap for like the fourth month in a row or something, you know, like it, I'm concerned about how much it will use.
Sure.
Yeah, I just, again, it's like we talk a lot about, you know, Nintendo, you know, not quite getting it. And then with this, we've been going, look, it's arguably something they should have done 2 years ago, but they get it. Yeah. They're finally doing it. And then just at the last minute, it's like, oh, for fuck, that was so close.
Didn't this happen with the Xbox One at launch or before launch? Remember that?
Well, yeah. It never actually happened with it, but they were saying it was going
to. And I think that really affected Xbox One's sales.
Totally, yes. It's not as big of a deal with a mobile game, I guess, because your mobile phone is less of, or is more capable of being connected at all times.
Yes.
But it makes no sense just because the nature of the game of what they showed so far doesn't justify that at all. Like, for example, like Hearthstone was that card game thing.
Yeah.
And that, well, to play multiplayer is always online, but then there's a single player thing as well. So it isn't that even.
Sure.
So I don't know.
What the reasoning is, and like the technical reasoning is, like, you can't download every level when you buy the game. There'll be heaps and heaps of levels, so the levels will be basically streamed to you.
I think it's a piracy thing.
That's the main thing I've heard. There's an interview with Miyamoto where he says because it's launching it like everywhere at once, and they can't monitor. Like if you download it, that makes it easier for people to pirate onto a jailbroken phone.
Oh right.
So hopefully, my hope is it'll come out. They'll be able to. They'll do all the stuff they need to do because I think they're just worried about not being able to monitor these things if it's not online.
Right.
So my hope
Some fucking 14-year-old in Texas is going to crack it the day of release.
Yeah. Well, my hope is it comes out and they alleviate these concerns that they have internally and then they release offline support for it.
Yeah.
Maybe, I think it's I just think it's a practical measure for day one them not being let. But they've always been, you know, that piracy's always been such a huge concern of theirs.
Especially, like, it's so easy to, like, do piratey shit to a Wii or a 3DS at this point.
Yeah.
You can, like, in a matter of an hour make it so you can play anything on that for free.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't because it's a cruel thing to do to poor, friendly little Mr. Miyamoto.
Yeah.
A happy little man.
Well, I mean, the way that every other company has gotten around piracy, the ones that have just been, has been by making their offering good enough in a legitimate sense to not need to pirate it or not want to pirate it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the people that are going to pirate, they're just going to pirate anyway or not buy
exactly,
it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like anyone who's like a fan like us, like we've got $10 to spare,
totally.
We'll buy
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Like,
if it's convenient to get and is a good thing, then you're
paying
for
it. But if you're someone with a jailbroken phone, well, you're clearly not. You just won't get it. If you can't get it, you just won't get it anyway.
Pirates have always been that as well.
Yes.
Like, you could mine gold if you wanted gold. You don't have to steal it.
Yeah.
But those motherfuckers, they just did what they want. And let me tell you, I think it's sexy.
Ooh.
So, look, I think that's an unfortunate. I think that's very unfortunate.
You're right as well.
It could be a real sticking point for a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's just a bit annoying. Like that thing of, like you said, they get so close every time they do something.
It's for me, it's just like, in a practical sense, just thinking about how much will it realistically affect me, probably not that much.
No.
But then just the thought of in a couple of months' time, like the next time I'm on a plane and just wanting to, I mean, I don't really tend to play games on my phone that much when I'm flying. There is a lot of other stuff you can do.
Yeah.
But for a company that really does need to get back to just getting the everyman on side, like I think that will annoy a lot of people and just make them go, eh.
I think Japan won't have anyone caring about this because there's wireless hotspots everywhere.
Totally, yeah.
And connectivity is great, so
it's not that big of a deal here as well. And honestly, I think most people won't even really notice or think about it.
Including
myself, honestly.
Yeah. It's just in the way that we're talking about it now, like it just gives, it's another easy sticking point for anyone who's anti-Nintendo. Like, see, they just don't get it. It's like an easy it's an easy point on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
Who's like off them at this point.
I think that the general audience they're trying to reach with this, as in the audience that they've kind of lost over the past few years,
yeah,
that audience won't read about or care about this.
Or know until
totally.
They've gotten it.
They will have seen The Tonight Show
yes.
and gone, hey, Nintendo's back.
Exactly.
I haven't thought about them for a few
years.
The
possible problem with it is that you can get like just a kind of a pretty, a kind of a dummy version of it for free. And then to get all of it is $10. So I would think that the worry would be, given that they need this to make a lot of money, like a shit ton of money, which it will, but... You know, I could see people getting the free version of it and then going like, oh, you can't fucking play this without the internet. Well, I just won't upgrade and get the paid version then.
With mobile games, for whatever reason, I've heard the thing that you're looking for isn't like a million people to play it. You're looking for like three whales, they call them. And because they have all like the, you know, pay $2 and get a new mushroom house or whatever.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You want someone who's going to spend $30,000 for some bullshit reason because they're a goddamn fool.
Well, hey, you know, Pokemon Go, you know, needs the internet. And that's been one of the biggest mobile games of the year. So
that's true, yeah.
We're all idiots who've just talked for 15 minutes out of our asses about something we know fucking nothing about.
Ace Ventura style.
Ben, any predictions?
I think I'm going to really like it and I'm going to play it a lot and it's going to be good. 10 out of 10.
I said this ages ago. My hope is that there's some kind of like retro skin mode you can unlock.
Ah, yes.
I've already seen in a trailer you can unlock Luigi and Yoshi and Toad who all kind of perform a little differently.
Yeah.
I think that's very cool.
What about Princess Peach?
Who knows,
at some point, they'll do a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. I guess DLC will come along.
There's a bunch of new Pokemon coming out for that Pokemon Go.
Oh, yeah.
Like they're doing they've been filtering that in.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be... I think the princess is going to be kidnapped.
Oh,
I would love it if there's a big cinematic story attached to it. You know what I mean? Like trying to justify like why Mario can't stop running. Like if there's some... But I bet there
won't
be.
There's a bomb on this, Mario.
We saw a whole bunch of this demoed last week on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
Yep.
Reggie Fils-Aimé was on as a guest, which is weird. What did you think of this? I thought this was a very weird thing for the Tonight Show to do. Basically, like Moira coming out and doing an infomercial.
Yeah, I didn't like it in
that sense. It was very infomercially.
Yeah.
I liked getting to see all this stuff, but... For something that's got this, it's
fucking
kind of,
Johnny Carson never would have done that. David Letterman never would have.
Think of the Tonight Show now. Yeah. It is still like it does have a rich comedy legacy, and it's kind of a bit of a bummer to just see this big ad being trotted out on there.
I mean, every movie star is on it is an ad for their movie that's coming out.
But it's at least a little less.
Maybe there's nothing wrong with ads. You got to make your money somehow.
That's true.
but like, it wasn't so much that. It was the thing that made it awkward for me is that. Reggie was in very much like that. Yeah, like here's me listing all the products mode. Yeah.
Sure,
and
he
then
was
Jimmy
in...
Fallon was playing around and being like, "Oh wow, so cool!" And fuck, man.
Yeah,
like not everything's good.
And also, it's
not everything's
such a
good,
weird...
Jimmy.
It's weird to do for video games. I know Nintendo's trying to be the everyman thing again, but like, it's such a niche thing. And I just
Fucking Conan plays a new game every week.
I don't think it is anymore.
Yeah.
The No Man's Sky guy was on Colbert.
Yeah, I know, it's true.
I think
I don't know.
The amount of money in video games means that this is going to happen.
Yeah, they've had a bunch of video game shit on Jimmy Fallon's show when he was doing whatever's after the Tonight Show.
I was just kind of watching it kind of just imagining being a kind of a generic audience member at home going, what the fuck is, what are they talking about?
I think you underestimate maybe, and I do as well usually, the power of the dark side. amount of awareness of A, especially Mario people have.
Yeah, true.
And B, like someone seeing a cool thing like that, even if you've not played a video game in 10 years and you see that shit, you're going to go, oh, cool.
Well, I guess I'm talking a bit more specifically about it's like everyone has an iPhone, so I get that. It was more the Switch that I thought was.
But the Switch, you're gonna go like, oh fuck yeah! Like, I had a rooftop party the other day, and I didn't play any video games there.
Just quickly, Reggie was wearing a T-shirt that said "I love New York," but Mario's head was where the heart normally is.
I'm Mario New York.
But then he was wearing a blazer over the top of it, so you kind of. You had to sort of, you know what I mean? It was kind of like, oh, I sort of.
You really had to scope out his bod to
find
see.
I hate seeing that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, anyway.
Yeah, he was fully in like Nintendo Direct mode. Like, it was so salesman-y. Yeah.
And every time Fallon said something, he was trying to just like have a chat. Reggie would like seem to get thrown a little bit and then like slip back into the script.
Yeah.
So Fallon's there doing his, you know, he's an excited little puppy dog.
Yep.
He's getting to play
so cool. Oh my God.
Super Mario Run. Oh, meanwhile, Shigeru Miyamoto is in the crowd.
Yes.
and is
doing a bit of Hail Caesar.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there was one point where Fallon goes, oh, you got to put me in this as a character.
Yeah.
And they cut to Shiggy, and Shiggy did not look impressed.
Nah.
He did not seem to like that at all.
Yeah, it was because, like, obviously he's joking.
Yeah.
But he doesn't mean, go back and reprogram
this. Big Shig's like, my artistic vision will not be compromised by putting Jimmy Fallon in this.
You were not there when I was exploring the forest as a child.
I find that funny how, like, the whole thing of it was Fallon going, I'm the biggest fanboy. I'm the biggest Nintendo fanboy. And then he's like, hey, you got to put me in this. It's like, can't they not put anyone in it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
you know this is a closed
licensing
loop. Yeah.
Company of all time.
Yeah.
So then they reveal the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, under that question mark
Actually,
box.
That's not even maybe that true anymore. They put a bunch of Mercedeses
into
Mario Kart and shit.
Yeah. True.
Like, is a Mercedes more or less popular than Jimmy Fallon?
More.
I don't know.
They've been around longer.
They've been around longer, but
they
Jimmy
would have
Fallon,
contributed a lot of money to
Jimmy
Nintendo.
Jimmy Fallon never worked for the fucking Nazis, man. So
yeah,
I knew you were going to reference the Nazis.
Yeah.
Hey, it's how long are we in? 12 minutes. I'm in.
You're surprised at an alliance between Germany and Japan, Knox? What are you? Read a history book.
So yeah, so the Switch gets revealed. Now when I was watching the clip, I sort of got excited because I thought maybe we're going to get something new.
Ah, yes.
I sort of thought, are these motherfuckers?
Yeah.
They've been talking about Mario already.
So January 13, this whole, that's when you're going to get more. Was this just a red herring? And they're going to come out here and they're just going to whip out some fucking new shit.
Yeah.
As it turns out, no.
No.
Not at all.
No. Well, they sort of did because you haven't seen Zelda be played on the Switch yet. That's all been
true.
Wii U
that's
footage.
And
it did look noticeably smoother.
Yeah, yes, yeah, yeah, yeah. And also seeing an actual person playing the actual Switch.
Yeah, it was cool to see close-up of an actual Switch unit that's not, like, kind of been through an editing filter.
Yes.
Like, in the trailer, it's all very glamorized. You know, they had a close-up of Jimmy Fallon with it in his hand, and you could see, like, the smudges on the screen. Like, it looked real, so it was a lot easier to get, like, a bit of a gauge of what this thing's actually going to look like.
Yeah.
And I think it looks really cool. Like, I think it looks very sleek. It looks very lightweight. Like,
that specifically was the thing that got me. Like, it looks as light as a 3DS.
That was always the bummer about the Wii U gamepad. Yeah. Like, when it sort of came out, it was like functional, but it's just this kind of plasticky sort of, it didn't feel, but this feels like it's size-wise, it looks like it's kind of somewhere between like an iPad and a gamepad and a
is
Wii
it,
U gamepad,
is
but
it,
just way more rounded and way more kind of like, yeah, a lot more Apple aesthetic.
Yeah. Somewhere between Sony and Apple, kind of like
totally.
The gray bezeled kind of thing. Yeah.
Is it bigger than a bread box? I wanted to say that a while ago as well, but I had to wait a bit to say my joke about
it. Really? How long ago have you been how long have you been sitting on it for?
1973.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How old were you back then?
I was 93. I've been lying about my age this whole time. I'm immortal.
Shit.
You're throwing off that spreadsheet that someone made.
Look, I thought this was cool. I mean, as much as we're going, it's kind of weird. But it does, like, you know, it's smart strategy from them. Just beam this thing into people's houses.
Oh, and, absolutely.
You know, what better place to do that than a talk show that has a very mainstream audience?
Yeah, yeah. If I was a heartless corporation monster, that's exactly what I'd do to, like,
totally.
Manipulate the most people. Like,
yeah, totally.
Get this, like,
they're not Big Brother, it's an ad.
But it makes sense if you're very calculated. It's like, this guy is friendly and harmless, and if he says that he likes something, then other people will like it.
Yeah, I guess, but that doesn't sound calculated necessarily to me. That doesn't sound evil.
Mate, how do you think the world runs? You naive little child.
Nah, mate, everyone...
Read a history book.
Deep down, we're all decent.
It's like you've never even watched Fight Club, mate. You've got no fucking idea what's going on.
I've seen Black Mirror. I know how this shit works. It's a lot worse than everyone says
Nintendo Switch, just another screen.
Yeah.
So Big Shiggy, he's in the crowd.
Oh,
he's having a great time. He stuck around and played the Super Mario theme with the Roots.
Yeah,
did you see that?
I did see.
He's having a fucking ball over there, isn't he?
Yeah.
So his guitar was turned way down, right?
Yeah,
you could barely hear what the fuck he was playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone's got to make, I wonder if anyone's made, I don't know if people do this anymore, those shredding videos where people would get like live footage of a band and like re-record it so it sounds terrible and the vocals are all pitched.
Yeah.
Bing, bing, bing.
What if someone's done that with old Shiggy, Shiggy and the Roots?
Listeners at home, Google it. You'll see.
But there's just something about that man, seeing him sitting there, he's just waving.
He's so friendly and nice.
So, oh, man, it made me happy. Fuck off, Reggie. Get Shiggy up there. Get Shiggy with a translator.
Reggie's no good.
It's going to take twice as long to get through the segment. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. That's more genuine, I feel. Doing that has a more genuine feel than getting Reggie spokesman Fils Aimé.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Yeah.
So, okay. So that looks, that's nothing heaps to report there, but, you know, cool that it happened.
That was the first time I'd seen a real person hold a real Switch as well.
Yeah, totally.
Outside of that ad, but that was sort of different.
And I'll say, like, the Switch is looking better and better to me. Is it going?
Breath of the Wild.
Really
looks,
into it.
Yeah. Looks amazing.
Yeah.
Because there were a couple of things this week about stuff that's going to be on it. Hold on.
I demand that you leave that in.
I definitely will.
It's such good content. It's made me forget
what
I was
saying. Did you sneeze your thought out?
Yeah, I think I did. A couple of things that they might be doing a compilation of all three Dark Souls games for the Switch.
Oh, right.
Which could be cool, but you can't pause them. And so having it on a portable thing seems a bit weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, that ukulele game is going to be on the Switch instead.
A couple of like Stardew Valley as well, which was going to get a Wii U port. A bunch of them are starting to jump ship.
If that thing's decent, and apparently it's going to be about the same level of like power as an Xbox One, apparently.
That's the
rumor. I will probably end up getting a lot of things on that just because, like, the thing of it being portable is really applicable to us who sometimes travel and shit.
Totally. If we could bring our Xbox One / PS4s to each other's houses while we recorded, you know, the equivalent of that would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was even thinking today, we'll get into this a bit later, but a game I've been playing this week, Last Guardian, and I kind of thought, maybe it'd be good to show you guys, you know, where I'm at, but... You know, we record at your house.
Yeah.
I could bring the disc over, but I'm just showing you from the very start.
Yeah.
And then you could log into your account and do all the cloud saves and shit. But it's all just a bit of a hassle.
Yeah.
You'd have to download patches and bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just scrolling through this Twitter account to see if there is any new...
At Live Nudes.
But yeah, this is a rumors account. the other big rumor is that GameCube... Virtual console. Which I think would be really cool. You know, there's a lot of kind of cool stuff from that era. Like if it means that, you know, they can bring back Luigi's Mansion and then maybe do another sequel to that.
Yeah.
Given that the second one on the 3DS was one of my favorite games on that console. I think this all stems from that the GameCube Smash Brothers is still like super popular.
Yeah.
In the competitive esports,
it's the most popular one, I think.
And so I think it's just them trying to make it easier for, you know, those people to get
And it makes sense. Like, you know, it's the GameCube is what, 15 years old now something. So you could do that. The games are only like a gigabyte and a half or something, right? Because they were those little discs. I just mentally did. I'm sure it wasn't that there was the amount of data that there would be if a normal DVD was that size. Oh, maybe it is. I don't know. I wonder if that's just like the percentage difference of that to the size of a normal DVD corresponds to how much data is in it.
I reckon.
This is not interesting unless you're a robot.
This is a segment we like to do about physical media.
Yeah.
We don't even like to do the segment.
The 3.5-inch floppy disk.
Yeah.
Was bigger than Ben's tidy little penis.
We need theme music for this segment. It should be everyone do what's that song? Do the Dinosaur. Walk the Dinosaur.
Walk the Dinosaur,
walk
yeah.
The dinosaur.
Oh,
do the dinosaur.
Yeah.
Do the Dinosaur.
Yeah, open the door, get on the floor. We're going to talk about DVDs some more. All right, I'll put a karaoke version under that.
Another thing that came out this week, Nintendo related, was they released kind of some concept art for Super Nintendo World, which is going to be their little area of Universal Studios.
Yeah.
And it looks really... fucking cool. Like, it's clearly, like, it's very, like...
conceptual.
Conceptual and very, like, you know, glamorized and stuff. But, man, if it looks 50% of what that is.
Yeah.
That's gonna, I'm gonna do the biggest cums when I walk through that gate. Yeah. I gotta tell you.
Well, we kind of have said to each other, Tommy, that like Japan twice, you know, maybe we'll go somewhere else next. Mm. We'll take a break, but like that'd get me over the line.
Oh, totally.
Is yeah. Universal Studios in Japan?
Yes.
It's Universal, right. And then the idea is, I think that it will come to like yeah. The
there is
American
one in like
well.
New York, I think.
Yeah,
is it Universal
there's
Studios
one, there's
theme
one,
park.
There's one in California,
right?
And there's one in Orlando.
Mm.
So I think, yeah, I think the...
To the fucking president? Well, how do you know all this?
I just know things about
how
the
do you know where three places are?
But yeah, it looks really cool. It's kind of, you know, it's exactly what you would want something to look like that to look like.
Yeah.
If you're a big fan, it's like a real life imagining of a Mario Land. It's this big blocky
it's
kind of
got the Mario 64 castle thing.
Yeah.
Looking
you walk
there.
In through there's a big like pipe that you can walk through. Yeah, looking at that, some of this obviously will not be there, but then there's bits where you go, oh yeah, I can totally see how that's.
And it doesn't sound necessarily exciting when you just go like, hey, walk through a pipe. Come over here. Get through there.
No,
so
that nah, sounds good.
What sort of rides would you guys want to see at this kind of world? I'm thinking there'll be some kind of Mario Kart themed roller coaster.
Yeah.
There'll
yeah.
definitely be.
Maybe have like a Metroid roller coaster, but it only operates once every like 10 years.
That's great. Yep.
What else do they have?
What would the Zelda ride? There'd be some Ooh. Kind of Zelda ride, surely. What will that
oh,
be?
Yeah.
One of those like interactive, you know, you're in a fake plane things with Star Fox could
oh,
be fun.
Yeah.
Oh,
definitely,
yeah.
Definitely. I yeah. imagine there'd be some kind of like sideshow, like carnival alley that's all kind of Zelda themed, like a market
yeah.
from a, you know, like a little town oh, that you go yeah. into in Zelda where you've got like a little archery game and a little.
Yep.
Yeah, like little rupees to pay for rides
yeah,
and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like I a guess. Donkey Kong Country log ride or something.
Oh, like man. They have minecart levels as well.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. yeah.
Fuck yes.
I'm imagining a bunch of different themed roller coasters.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to think of like the equivalent of like a teacup ride, like a thing that's like not a full on intense ride, but
maybe you sit on
kind of
different colored Yoshis
or a yeah. bunch of Kirby's. Yeah. You sit in their mouths.
Yeah,
because oh, Kirby's
I don't know about that.
You just stick it right in their mouths.
Because well, yeah, Kirby's kind of the.
The kid.
I reckon,
friendly.
You know what I could see? Like a teacup thing. I don't know what kind of vessel you'd be in, but maybe it's just like one of those little, like you, the big tomato things.
A big Kirby open mouth.
But like, stop saying it. But then at one end of the ride, there's like a giant Kirby and his mouth is, you know how he like breathes things in?
Yes.
So it's like you're on this teacup ride and you're all spinning around and it's made to look like you're caught in this like,
oh,
in the gust
oh,
of
like
air being
wind.
Sucked into his mouth. So he's like
yeah.
kind of like moving you around.
Like a giant Kirby.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, yeah, like nice. There's a giant like Perspex Kirby.
Maybe like some yeah. kind of Wario treasure thing.
Oh yeah.
Or maybe like a bunch of like you go in like 60 different little 5 second rides.
Oh
it's
yeah.
It's like a Wario.
Oh yeah.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, like a that lot could of be the like an arcade, like a time zone arcade.
Yeah, oh totally.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
I
want to play Waluigi in tennis. That'd be good.
Hey, let's
yeah,
throw this
just a tennis court yeah. is there and a golf range.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's throw this out to the listeners because this is a good
yeah.
speculation. Send us some emails or get yeah. on the socials and stuff. And next time, I'm sure there's heaps that we're forgetting. But
yeah,
like Pokemon. Would there be Pokemon at this place?
Yeah, there'd have to be yeah. Pokemon something. Yeah.
I feel like Pokemon is almost like a separate thing these days.
It's gotten big enough. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. yeah.
But I guess also it's not like it's its own park, so it's kind of like how much. Space
that's true.
Going to be able to take up.
Yeah,
yeah. Maybe it's like it's one ride, and you go through the history of Nintendo or something.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm
that
secretly
be,
building
that
the place.
Would be great. The, it's a small world after all. But
yeah.
it's but
yeah.
it's literally it's like animatronic robots of like Satoru Iwata and like,
yeah.
and like bad fucking translated dialogue of like them inventing the first Game and Watch and all that shit.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
a mere small world after all.
That would be yeah. super boring for any normal kid, but I would fucking love it so hard.
Yeah,
yeah. Just really focus on the programmers.
Yeah,
everyone's like, "Where's Mario? He came out of my head."
I want to tell this quickly. I went to when I went to Disney World. I went to that they had like a ride, an attraction that was a Bug's Life themed.
Oh yeah,
and it's sort of you're inside this big tree and you go in and it's like one of those ones where you watch a movie on a screen and all this fucked stuff happens like actually in the cinema to you to make it.
So
the
yeah.
whole setup of it is. The bad bug from that movie, he's like, you humans, you've been swatting us and you've been doing all this. How do you like it? And so the whole audience has been shrunk down to a bug.
Oh.
It's like, we're going to treat you, you know, how do you like it? So it's like, so you're on the screen, he pulls out like a big can of like bug spray And then you just start getting gassed in the cinema. Like, gas just starts seeping in.
Jesus.
And then there's something of, like, all these other little bugs attacking you, and all these, like, pincers start coming out of the seats.
What?
And, like, jabbing you. And every child around me was in fucking hysterics.
Yeah.
Like, scared out of their goddamn minds.
Fuck.
I was loving it, but yeah. I would love to see Nintendo do some stuff like that, like a Wario thing like that. And it's just like stinks and it's like really full on and fucked up.
Have we talked about Wobby's World on here before?
I think so.
I think we might have talked about Wobby's World.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that we have. But
oh, okay.
I feel like we've talked about...
It was great.
I feel like we've talked about... What was the Sydney one? Wonderland? Have we talked about that maybe?
Yeah, maybe we've... I don't know. I don't remember my own life.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever went to Wobby's World.
Wobby's World was a fucking nightmare. It was like genuinely, if you went there, there was a chance that half your day would be spent being stuck on a ride.
Yeah, yeah.
It was ridiculous.
That's true. There's helicopters on the rail.
And I was thinner at the time. Like, they would just break down halfway. And, like, if you leaned a little bit, it felt like it was going to tip.
Totally. I feel like there was a period of time when I went where I was like, all right, let's go sit on the picnic tables for a while, kids. Yeah. Like,
hey, look, they've got a hollowed out tram.
Yeah.
I guess that's a ride. Look, they bought two trampolines. Not good ones.
It was the jewel of the eastern suburbs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hit us up. Let us know what you would like to see at Super Nintendo World.
Yeah.
Should we get into, speaking of poorly done advertorials,
yes.
Should we get into a bit of chatting about our new sponsor?
So Loot Crate basically are sponsoring us, but they've specifically decided to sponsor us with their offshoot Loot Gaming. It's their video game themed
weird decision
section.
If you ask me.
Yeah.
We're not quite sure what their angle is on that.
We're not a gaming podcast at all. We're a fashion podcast. Everyone knows that. But yeah, so they've decided to sponsor us this week. So if you need your gaming collectibles fix, you can own a piece of the biggest and best gaming universes with Loot Gaming. Loot Gaming delivers exclusive premium licensed apparel, figures and gear from new blockbuster releases, breakout indies and evergreen classics like Super Mario Game Man.
Like you clearly know your shit.
Like we were talking about Justin.
Hello, kids. I'm Super Mario Game Man. Welcome to Universal Studios. No one involved with Nintendo was involved in the process of building
this. It's like Camp Krusty when they have Barney get up as Krusty.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Pikachu. What's going on? He's not even wearing
Super
a costume.
Giuseppe.
What's up? I'm Stavros 360.
Hey, we ought to save that for a discussion after this ad's finished. So this month, blast off into the sky and fly through space with Loot Gaming's latest theme. The theme is space, by the way.
Hang on, let's not jump the gun here. There might be a sting in the tail here.
In classic Vanel style, I've said something very basic and then explained that again. celebrating franchises that reach beyond the stars to new planets and strange species, this Stellar Crate is 100% exclusive. It includes items from the Mass Effect, Destiny, XCOM, and Ratchet & Clank franchises. Order now before this crate enters warp drive.
What do you mean enters warp speed? It'd be a warp drive helps you enter warp speed.
Motherfucker, I did not write this copy.
Yeah, well, someone had a lot of fun writing this copy.
Yeah. So yeah, you have
I'm
until
say,
the...
Ratchet & Clank is an odd one out in that list of
that's in space though.
Things.
Yeah, they're in space.
Yeah, but it's all very serious, and there's just like a little cartoon fucking thing in there.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Mass Effect is very serious.
Destiny has nothing silly about it.
Yeah, you have until the 27th of December at 9 p.m. Pacific time in America to sign up. Otherwise, you miss out on that month's crate. So if you want to jump on that theme, get on in. And if you do want to do that, go to lootcrate.com/filthycasuals and enter the code filthycasuals for $3 off any new subscription today.
Today or until the 29th 27th. Of December, but do it today, 27th.
Yeah.
And we actually have a bit of an insight into what the theme of next month's Loot Crate is going to be. And I don't want to give too much away, but let me just say, yeehaw, you partners are going to be.
They're doing space again?
we've got some loot crates from the great team at Loot Crate. They gave us some. And they're fucking cool. They got some like really
weird
things.
We got a horror themed one that had some, what was it, Freddy Krueger chopsticks.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like
I still haven't eaten with them yet.
Yeah, me either.
Because I only eat with my hands.
But you know what's good about them is that they're kind of, I don't think they're meant to be this, but they're kind of like those training chopsticks you can get.
Yes.
Because I bought a pair, I just went to Japan with my parents. Mm. And my mum was saying she was going to take a big bag of plastic forks with her because she doesn't know how to use chopsticks. Oh, and I was like, I'm not having this.
Yeah, no. Mum, you're not creating an international incident.
Yeah, so I bought my parents two sets of those training chopsticks.
Yeah.
Meant for children, but anyway.
Yes.
And they proceeded to just not use them and still bring the chopsticks. Oh, but this, because they're kind of stuck together, I was like, this is you could actually teach someone and have fun while you're doing it.
Yeah.
Pretending to be a serial killer.
Yeah. Plus, the idea of metal chopsticks was cool to me.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Well, so, you should see Japan, my friend.
Lots of metal chopsticks?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I've been using just shards of rusty metal I've broken off of, like old car aerials are what I use for metal chopsticks until Loot Crate came along. Well, now I don't have tetanus anymore.
Standard Loot Crate to me, it seems like it'll have a book, a figurine of some kind.
Usually a t-shirt. Yep,
a little novelty item and a t-shirt. And so I got to say, I think this might mean that the fashion report needs to make a comeback.
Oh shit. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, great call.
Yeah.
Very good call.
People are wanting it.
Yeah.
But I've seen the messages.
We should approach Loot Crate to just sponsor the fashion report.
Oh, yes.
Isn't that a good idea?
I like it.
A branded segment.
Yeah.
I think it a lot.
For Knox, a Kmart themed Loot Crate.
Or Target. Which one's going to court him?
What's in it? A cup of coffee.
I'm such an idiot for being fiscally responsible. What a silly tool.
Bed sheets with the fucking big picture of Che Guevara on them. A copy of a paperback edition of Fight Club.
Oh, yeah.
Some shoes.
Yeah.
You got me.
Three pairs of shoes,
three
which combined will last you 4 months.
Yeah.
Well, these ones will last me a while.
Yeah, I've been meaning to say they have. You've finally found a pair that...
Yeah.
You finally found the pair for you.
Yeah.
Head over to Loot Crate.
Yeah,
lootcrate.com/filthycasuals.
Yeah.
And enter the code filthycasuals.
Yeah. Yeah, $3 off a new subscription, which is a pretty good deal. And yeah, like we... One of the older months loot gaming crates. I got a sweet Mario magnet on the fridge.
Cool.
Yeah, there's some sweet stuff.
I thought you were pointing at your little plant.
I thought you got the fridge in a loot crate.
No,
that's loot.
No.
Cool. So let's talk now about a big release of the last week, The Last Guardian.
Keep it private, mate.
Talking about doing a cum.
Do you think Loot Crate will be into this? Or
the ad has finished, okay? This is back to normal content.
At least it's nice to know that, like, we're not going to change by approaching sponsorship. If anything, more jokes about Tommy coming.
Yeah.
I think we'll sort of have to see. I mean, we'll kind of have to, you know, see how, like, kind of gently feel this out. You know, who knows? In 6 months' time.
Keep it to yourself.
Our ads could be just pure smart. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't know where we're sort of a new podcast still.
Yeah, that's true.
I think sponsorship is new for us. We don't know where we stand.
Yeah.
On my other podcast, we just go off.
You talk about dipping your dicks in chocolate mousse.
Yes. Yes.
And you're sponsored by like aged care or something.
Aged care.
I couldn't think of something that was like a serious
thing. Thought about Carl Chandler and you thought about old.
Yeah.
So, Last Guardian came out last week after a decade plus.
Yeah,
decade.
Yeah,
of people waiting for it. The good folks at Sony sent me/us a copy to review.
Yes.
Now you, Ben, you weren't excited for it at all.
You're not
a fan of the first two games that these guys did.
No, I came to them too late, so they weren't groundbreaking when I played them.
I've never played either of them. I thought that this looked really cool, and I kind of was keen to play it, but also my time started getting eaten up, and I kind of thought, you know what, I'm probably not gonna go in.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, they just sent it to me. So I haven't put in a great deal of time. I've been playing it a little bit, but I went to the Meredith Music Festival over the weekend, so I didn't have heaps of time. And so far in my experience with it, it's kind of all the stuff that I'd seen already in the reviews is pretty I agree with. Like, it looks amazing. The whole mechanic of having this like giant, so you're a little boy that wakes up and
keep it to yourself, mate.
Fuck.
What was his name? You don't know his name. You wake up in a you wake up and you don't know it, you know, you just wake up, you don't know where you are.
Yeah.
What's going on, which I've seen in a bunch of games I've played this year. And I got to say, I really like it as a trope.
You do?
You just start the game, you don't know, there's no 20-minute cinematic Mafia 3 style of setting you up. You just go in and you just work out who you are and what you're doing through the course of the game.
Right.
I've always liked that.
Yeah.
Going back to like, I think it was the Zelda on the Game Boy where you,
you
just
wake up
on the beach.
Yeah.
I've just always really liked that as going in and you're a blank canvas and you kind of...
Yes, well, I was going to say Morrowind is that.
Okay.
Like as compared to Skyrim, which has that big sequence where you're about to get your head cut off and stuff, Morrowind, you wake up in the hull, in the cargo hold of a boat. You walk up, you choose how you look, and then you just go live your life however you want.
Yeah.
Which, boy, wouldn't that be nice?
There's no bells. I'll talk about that thing after.
But yeah, I'm really into that kind of style of storytelling.
Mm.
One thing that's really cool is that the game is being, as you play, and I don't know if this continues the whole way through, but the game's narrated by you as an adult. So basically you wake up and there's this giant beast kind of chained up next to you and he's got a spear stuck to his neck, so you have to climb up, get it off. And then
what was his name?
Get him free, and then he kind of is following you around and you're sort of just trying to just find your way around. You don't know where you are. You're trying to sort of get home.
Mm.
And so at various points this older version of you will go, you know, I could tell that the beast was hungry, so I decided to try and find something for it to eat, which is...
Knox gave me the most shit-eating grin when you said beast hungry.
Yeah.
So, guys, please. So anyway, you release this giant beast. You free it from its chamber.
So in front of a little boy.
In front of a little boy. This giant beast that roams free and it is hungry. You look at it and you can just tell daddy is hungry.
Is it like smooth or furry?
It's furry.
Oh, okay.
Is this a dream? you don't ever really know. Well, I don't sort of know where I'm at yet in relation to everything else. But I just think that's kind of a really cool way of navigating you through it without just having tutorials come up and stuff like that.
Totally.
Like the voiceover thing works really well. It makes it feel like a cool, like, because the little, I forget his name. God, it's...
Trico is the cat.
Yeah,
cat bird.
Big bird cat thing.
Yeah,
he looks fantastic. Mm. The size of him is amazing. He moves really fluidly. The AI of it is really cool. Of just having this thing that it really does feel alive.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I mean, when it stands at attention, sometimes it just has a mind of its own, you know?
Wait a minute, I just realised it might sound like we're talking about a dick.
Wait, what?
This has been the most frustrating 5 minutes of my whole life. So you buy it. Like, you really do believe that this thing has a mind of its own, and it... And then you put it in and you take it out again. You put it in, tell you, and then white stuff comes out, and then you fall asleep. Done.
Yes, please. Can we move on? I'm hating myself for finding this funny.
I know, but I do as well.
I just want to give you two a big flogging right now.
Oh, he's done it again.
Anyway, it's all that stuff about it is great. It feels like it just does. The whole world is so you know, believable and everything.
How do you feel about the visual design and stuff? Because like you've said a couple of times that it looks great, but I don't think it looks great from the footage I've seen.
Just like from a technical perspective, I agree as well. It looks like a PS3 game.
It kind of is. I mean, he looks, your pet, he looks great. Like,
is that from like the animation of him, or
the animation of him?
The detail,
like his little feathers kind of move. His movements are very realistic. Like the way he kind of looks around and stuff.
Right.
Like you can sort of summon him, and he kind of like looks around. And
I think that would probably go a long way to selling it, which I probably haven't got from just what I've watched.
Oh, well, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing of being able to interact with him and have that bird dog feel like a separate entity to you.
Mm,
totally.
It's a really cool idea, and it's good to hear that they managed that.
Mm. But here's the big problem.
Here's
with
the catch.
Is the camera is no good and the controls are quite problematic.
Okay.
So a lot of it relies on you. There's two things that are kind of just weirdly, just a really big oversights in this that have been overlooked, where a lot of it relies on you being able to like jump up on his tail and climb up on his back and use him to kind of jump up onto platforms and stuff. And a lot of times I found that the collision detection of you jumping on is quite dodgy. So you will just, you'll be on a ledge and you clearly you're meant to jump onto him, and you'll jump onto him, but then you'll just stumble. You know what I mean? And it's like, it just shouldn't happen. Like, it's just kind of, you then have to go back up again, and it's like, you were on him, you didn't fuck it up, but you just, if you don't hit like a perfect point, you just kind of tumble off and...
Yeah. It's not about how many times you fall, it's about how many times you pick yourself back up.
Oh, well, be prepared to fucking learn a lot about yourself as you do a lot of picking up. So that's frustrating. You sort of start to work around it and you do start to realise, but it would be, I just think it would be cool if it was a lot more intuitive in a way that you could just kind of lock onto him and just like, you know what I mean, if it was a bit more automatic. The other thing is the camera is no good. You spend a lot of time in these, like, you go into a confined little corridor where you have to run around and find another way for him to get through. The camera fucking shits itself and doesn't know where to go when it goes into a tight space.
Right.
And the other thing is, a lot of this is, shut up, Knox.
I know, I'm sorry. It genuinely is ridiculous, and I don't mean it. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Wow.
I forgive you. So the other thing is, which is kind of a weird oversight, is I think a lot of it is meant to be, so you're kind of like walking along a ledge that's very narrow. So obviously your pet can't go on that. But next to you, there's like these huge kind of like pillars that he's...
Say that again?
There's these huge penises.
Oh, nice. I'm sorry. I'll stop now.
I'll edit that out.
You said that so many times.
No, I'll stop now.
That he's kind of jumping onto.
Yep.
And as he jumps onto each of them, they're crumbling underneath him, and then he's jumping onto the next one.
Yep.
So it's clearly this cinematic thing, but the camera is behind you, and so you're walking forward. So you, like, all of a sudden, you kind of hear all this sound.
Oh.
And you're like, oh, what's going on behind me? So you swing the camera around. So it's just weird that so much of it is meant to be you seeing this big kind of beast following you and how cool that looks.
Yeah.
But the camera, it feels like it should have some kind of dynamic camera that should just swivel and turn around and go, like in Uncharted, where it automatically goes. Sure.
In Final Fantasy 15, it does that.
Yeah. So it turns around and goes, check this shit out. You hold the button and it focuses on the thing that's happening.
Yeah.
So I feel like that is a huge oversight for that so much, because I feel like all this stuff is happening behind me that's very technically impressive and is part of it and would get me a bit more into the world.
Yeah.
But I have to all of a sudden go, oh, fuck, I bet something really cool is happening behind me. And then you turn around and he's like flying or something like that. So it's so weird for something to spend this long in development and have these elements that are so cool about it. But how do you have controls and camera not be up to scratch in 2016? Like, games used to have shit cameras on the Nintendo 64, but 3D was new and they were just working out. Like, I don't get how you can not just take it from somewhere else.
They still fuck up a lot these days. Like, there's still shitty cameras now. I don't know. Final Fantasy 15 had like...
Final Fantasy is the same thing. It's just like, so weird. Yeah. These two games that have spent...
In combat, it just fucking sucks sometimes.
Yeah. Yes. But in every other situation, it's fine.
Because when nothing's happening.
Yeah.
But then when something where you need to be able to make quick decisions starts happening, it goes like, oh, get a load of the inside of this bush.
Yes.
It's real nice.
Yes. Yeah. What?
Tommy, will you stop that?
Sorry,
it's unbelievable that you would start relating these unrelated things to what genitals sound like.
But it is, it's like...
They sound like this, by the way. Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Sound like eating a muesli bar.
It's because Tommy's, like, sitting behind me today.
Yeah, we need to change this orientation before we record the next podcast.
Sorry, I'll come in. I totally didn't realize that. Hey, Adam.
Okay. I can't connect to anything you're saying.
So, I feel like if this was... Yeah, but this camera, like, if this game was all just set in big open fields, it'd be fine. But again, it's like...
Which Shadow of the Colossus mostly was, right?
Yeah. It was huge, And then I feel like the camera still fucked up in that from memory, just because it would go, like, on the wrong side of, you know, a big Colossus's leg or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like I was saying with Final Fantasy, it's as it with the combat. For me, it feels as if, like... With both of these games, because they've been in development for so long, there's these certain things about them that are in place from a different iteration of the game before it evolved into what it is. And at no point has anyone gone, oh, heaps of this takes place in these confined spaces and in these corridors.
Yeah.
We've got to fucking change how the camera works now, because it's not going to... it's just not going to hold up. Like today, I was playing it today, and I felt dizzy because it just kind of whips around all of a sudden, and it's that being said, what's there that's good is really good. Mm. And given that we're coming into, you know, a lot of people have a bit of a holiday break, I would still recommend it. It's if you've played through a lot of the other big AAA stuff, it's really wonderful. The your little pet thing is really cool.
Yeah.
It feels like, I remember the first time I played a game on like the Super Nintendo where you had some kind of like AI based thing that would follow you around. I just thought that was like the coolest thing ever. And so such a great extension of that.
It's like the ultimate Tamagotchi. Like,
totally. Yeah.
Which, as shitty as they were still impressive and like had some kind of weird magic to them where it was like, what's going on here?
Being able to connect you to like a little digital fake person is a really cool thing. Like The Sims, that's why so many people connected to that.
Totally.
And like we were saying with Pokemon Sun and Moon, like it looks like how I would have always wanted something like this to look when I was a kid. Like it feels so real, and it feels the way it's presented is really cool. I mean, maybe they'll put a patch out and fix some of this stuff, but I don't know how patchable it is.
Yeah, I wonder if they also just want to be like, okay, fuck it, it's out, let's move on to our next game.
But I'll lend it to you because I'd be interested to hear your thoughts as well. I still think it's worth checking out, but yeah, I do think it's interesting how something can spend this long it being worked on and still have like, what do you think it is? Do you think it's being too close for it for too long and sort of not realizing that it's there? Or is it just going, we've got to fucking get this thing out? Because I would argue if it's already been 10 years, just take 6 more months.
It's hard to say as well. And there's the thing that I tend to believe that like once you've worked on something for a certain amount of time, every year after that is only going to add maybe 5% of quality to it.
Yeah,
you know. Sure. So they had the game in 2008 or whatever.
Yeah,
and it hasn't gotten 8 years better because there's no such thing as that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yep. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, if you spent 8 years making a movie, you probably should have released it after 2 years.
Exactly, like, because all the little tiny things that you're going to get in your head need to change about it probably didn't.
Sure. And so I think technically speaking, the camera and the controls are something they probably laid down as a foundation, and then they've been tweaking all the other stuff. So they probably can't.
Well, but it's also, I was thinking, it's a little bit of No Man's Sky syndrome again, where if this had just kind of snuck onto the e-store without any kind of like build up of like, oh, it's been 10 years, you could forgive that kind of stuff a little bit more and go, oh, this is cool. You got this big little pet.
Yeah, isn't this really AI amazing?
Yeah, like, Oh, the controls are a little clunky, but you know, it was $25 on the store. Yeah. I'll have fun with this for a couple of days. Like, so yeah. Anyway, that's my thoughts on that.
Like a 7 out of 10, it sounds like.
Yeah, at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still pretty early days with it, but
I don't want to. I want to give that a go over the New Year's and stuff as well.
Here's what I wanted to quickly say, because we are sort of approaching A, the end of this episode, and B, the end of the year. We personally are going to take a bit of a break from recording, but we've been pre-recording episodes.
Yes.
So there'll be no break for you, the listener. But what I wanted to say was,
there's no escape from this podcast.
There's no escape from the content.
Yes.
What I wanted to say was, like, as much as I've been enjoying this show a lot, and I've been enjoying kind of being sent games and playing them and forcing myself to go out and get stuff for the sake of the show in a way that I wouldn't, it also means that I'm playing stuff for just a few hours and then moving on to the next thing, especially these last few weeks. And so, and I think we should all do this, use the break to just kind of catch up and go back in on things that we maybe never finished, kind of replay stuff again. And I think maybe, you know, first episode back or early on next year, we should do a bit of a revisit of stuff that we've gone back and played over the break.
Absolutely.
Like, we got Sun and Moon, and I loved it for that couple of days that I crammed in to talk about it on this show. And then I haven't touched it since because Final Fantasy came out.
Yep.
And then I tried to do as much of that as I could to talk about on the show. And then I haven't touched that since because I was doing Last Guardian.
Yeah.
And I never used to play games in that way. I would get one game every 6 months and just devote my whole life to it.
Yeah.
What do you think, guys?
I think it's a great idea.
Wasn't listening for most of that, but that's
perfect. I'm looking forward to taking some time to just actually go back.
I want
to
play more Titanfall 2 multiplayer and shit. Like the games, that I actually really liked.
Yeah.
I want to go back and spend some more time on.
It's been good to be able to have an excuse to dedicate more time to this stuff, but it also has kind of in a weird way taken me further away from. It's turned it into a bit of a chore to kind of sit down and feel like, oh, I should sink about 5 hours into this so I know what I'm talking about.
Life, huh?
Oh, baby, it gets in the way.
Meanwhile, fucking ball and chains in the corner. Give it all these ones, am I right?
The bloody, what are those ball and chains in chain Mario
chomp.
Called?
Chain chomp.
Chain chomp.
Yeah.
The old chain chomp.
Mm. Nice.
Thanks. Do you want to hear what I bloody played a little bit of this week?
Yeah.
I played two demos.
Okay.
Which is very...
What game is that?
2016.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
What an amazing joke, Benjamin. Well done. The demo of Resident Evil 7.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'd seen some of before, I think, but actually sort of gave it a bit of a go, and they've added more to it since it first showed up, weirdly. So they've, like, patched a demo,
yeah,
which is bizarre.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. It's like the because the final update of the demo is, like, what's on the PlayStation Store and stuff.
Yeah, and so... Like, if you just play through it normally, it's just like this sort of 6 or 7 minute long thing of you walking through this really good looking, disgusting, creepy house.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, gross food and stuff everywhere.
Ooh.
Bit like my house.
Yeah, he admitted it.
What, so you're walking around one room?
Yeah, you're just walking in circles, going slowly mad.
By the way, I gave you a lift in my Uber last night.
Oh, yeah.
And I really thought I was going to be able to guilt you because I was paying for the Uber.
To come up and
giving
have a
look. Giving me and Demi Lardner a tour of the palatial suite.
You should have bloody asked, mate. I'd have brought you up.
I would have happily kept the meter running in the Uber out the front while we went up and had it.
Let's go back in time.
And you're a little drunk too. I reckon you would have gone.
I reckon you would have put out.
Yeah, this sounds like.
Yeah, I can't believe you didn't invite me up for a glass of Milo before bed.
You know what we should do for one episode or for one special event? We should live stream an episode from Nox's house.
I don't want to do that. That's creepy as fuck.
An episode of Nox's house. Let's invite listeners in the house.
Oh yeah, let's do it. Hey, come live with me, guys. It'll be great. So Resident Evil 7, which I fucking love the way they've done the title.
Yes.
It's so good because it was called Biohazard in Japan.
Yeah.
And they flipped the subtitles for each region. And then the VII for 7 is included in Evil. It looks fucking cool.
Yeah.
But that
what do you mean they flipped the sub? What do you mean?
So Resident Evil, the series, is called Biohazard in Japan.
Ah, okay.
And so it's called Resident Evil 7 Biohazard over here.
Right.
And in Japan
it's
called Biohazard 7 Resident Evil.
Yeah. Ah,
and they both make
cool.
sense because it's this gross house.
Yeah.
So it's a biohazard and a Resident Evil with a bunch of evil family in it.
Mm.
And so, yeah, it's about this evil family who live in a house and basically the dad's played by John Goodman. The mother
really?
Is Roseanne Barr.
Oh,
And
I was talking to me. I can't believe I fell for that.
Yeah.
Fuck.
The dad is more like, he's like an invincible looking guy from the trailers.
Oh, yeah, whatever. This is another fucking con, isn't it?
Nah, this is for real, mate.
Yeah, whatever.
And yeah, I don't know. It's cool. It's like a first person horror thing. There's not a huge
fucking
amount.
Bet it is. I fucking bet it is, mate.
There's not a huge.
Good one.
There's not a huge amount in the demo.
I bet there's fucking heaps in the demo.
Lots. I'm not lying.
This is a joke, isn't it?
This is actually really difficult to continue talking because...
Oh, is that the case?
And then, so yeah, they've added bits where like you can go downstairs and there's like some weird monster down there who killed me.
Oh, yeah.
And
go downstairs and there's a weird monster.
Yeah, I don't want to do any more of that either. Let's just end the podcast immediately. Anyway, yeah, it looks good.
Is it good? Because the Resident Evil series, we've talked a lot about. I love 4. It's one of my favorite games of all time.
Yeah.
But the series has a bit of a patchy history.
It is a hard swing from 4. It is very different. It's first person. It seems like it won't be particularly action-y.
Okay.
More focused on puzzles. Or like when it is action, it'll be like one enemy who's really tough.
Okay.
Right.
And I'm looking for... It comes out in January, so...
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
January's looking pretty stacked already. You got that. You got Gravity Rush 2, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah. Yep.
There's one other thing I was reading about the other day. Anyway, who cares?
Australia Day. That happens in January. The hottest
shouldn't,
100.
Shouldn't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very good call.
So, yeah, that's cool. I got to check that out.
I played that and I played a demo of Dragon Quest Builders.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like sort of a weird Minecraft-ish thing combined with like... Almost like a Harvest Moony type of thing where you're kind of building up a little town, not a farm, but a town.
Yeah.
And it seemed cool. Like, it's got like a sense of humor to it. And I really like the premise of it because I've never played any of the Dragon Quest games. But the first one ends with you making a decision whether or not to join or fight the bad guy.
Mm.
And if you join him, he goes like, all right, you idiot, and then kills you. and takes over the world.
Right.
And so you wake up after that ending as the character from that, like alive in this grave. And that guy's taken over the world and made everyone forget how to build things.
Wow.
And then, so it's almost like you bloody hired a tradie. You know? They don't even know what they're doing. Hey, just bloody fix the plumbing, mate. You don't know what you're doing. Hey?
They turn up at 8 a.m. They leave at 3 p.m. What kind of work day is that?
Yeah. You know? I'm thinking of giving stand-up comedy a try.
Jeez, they love an ice break, don't they?
But anyway, yeah.
Why they always listen to Katy Perry on the radio? You think they listen to something more masculine?
You just walk around building stuff in this like apocalyptic world. It's like this cute little cartoon style. Mm. It seems cool. It's a PS4 thing. I tried it not at my house.
Whose house did you try it at?
At my brother's house.
Okay.
And
does he listen?
What's his name?
I don't think he does, actually.
Oh.
No.
He not famously, but you have mentioned to me and us in conversation, he's a gamer as well.
Yeah. He has a PS4, so if ever I play a PS4 thing, it's usually at his house.
So he loves games, and he knows that his own brother, does a video games podcast, and he still chooses not to listen.
Yeah, it's not for him.
Does he listen to any podcasts?
Every other one, basically.
Okay, interesting.
Even Serial?
Yeah, that's his favorite. Anyway,
but cool. I've been meaning to check that out. Like, I know nothing about it, but the art style very much appeals to me.
Yeah, and it's basically you're building a bunch of towns for all these people, and it seems like it has a sense of fun to it that seems cool. Mm. I only played about like maybe half an hour or something of it, so it's hard to tell where it'll go from there. But I've heard good things, and it seems good. And I don't have a PS4, so I'll probably never play it.
It's fine.
I played a demo as well. I played the demo of the game Virginia.
Yep.
Do you guys know anything about it?
I know nothing about Virginia.
I know heaps.
What do you mean by that? So I played it on Steam. I'm not sure if it's on other platforms, but yeah, that's how I played it. It's basically like Firewatch, but for Twin Peaks mystery.
Right.
Boo!
Look, I mean, Ben Russell played it and asked, I think, if other people have played it on that, on Facebook, and I went in because I had not really heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the art style is actually incredibly simplistic, very kind of blocky and not particularly appealing. And it's very vague. You just kind of like start each scene where like you're in a house, and so you just walk around the house, you know, read newspapers, pick up things out of the, you know, like general adventure gamey kind of thing. And I don't know, it didn't grab me. I think it was too simple and a bit too vague and a bit too like esoteric or something. You don't really get a lot of information out of it, and it didn't hook me in.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, it's a missing child case. And,
does it make you kind of appreciate Firewatch and that sort of stuff? Because it's sort of, you look at Firewatch and common criticism is, oh, nothing happens, just walk around, but it is still
beautiful.
What's there is great and beautiful, and then you play something that doesn't do it as well and you go,
or even does it better maybe.
No, certainly doesn't. I've played both and I can say for a fact it's objectively true.
But yeah, you know, sometimes if you have like concerns about something, like, yeah, but then you play something where it really isn't done well, and it just galvanizes, like, oh, that is actually pretty hard to do,
and do
properly.
I think that's probably what happened. Yeah, I think that's
so. There's a missing child. Are you like a detective? Or right?
Yeah. Oh, and you don't talk. I can't remember. I played it about a week ago.
So but what you're like, saying it's all, is, Ben Russell is a fucking idiot.
Well, we all knew that already.
True.
Yeah. So I don't know. It didn't grab me, but maybe I'll go back in. It could, if the story gets better, then the game will get better. It's that kind of game.
Yeah, sure. With something that's Twin Peaksy detective-y stuff as well, you have to assume that something like that is going to be a pretty slow ramp up.
Yeah,
totally.
Traditionally, those kind of things just are that.
Even the gameplay of this game was tedious to me.
Right.
So it didn't do itself any favors. So zero stars.
You were just on the website for a missing child case in Virginia, somewhere in the US.
Yeah, really slow plot progression.
This is sad and boring.
So you're giving it the old new save file on Super Mario 64.
Yes.
Zero stars.
Yes, indeed.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
hey, that's the rating
good.
Scale.
A few
now.
Good jokes on this podcast.
All right, I reckon we should wrap it up there.
I agree.
Because we're doing another one of these tonight.
Oh, God,
oh,
yeah.
Baby.
Marathon sesh.
So, all the socials.
Yeah, at FilthyCastPod on Twitter, Filthy Casuals with us on Facebook, filthycasuals.pod@gmail.com. If you'd like to sling us some cash, paypal.me/filthypod. You can give us send us a message, ask us to play a game, whatever you like. There's also
give us a little Christmas, give us some Christmas cash to go spend in the Boxing Day sales.
Yeah, genuinely, please. I want to buy more games.
Yeah, I don't know why I said that in such a sarcastic tone. Yeah. Actually, that would be a good idea.
Yeah. Also, if you want to jump on Steam, there's a Filthy Casuals group, and there is also a PlayStation community group.
Yes, which I just joined today.
Yeah,
because I went through and cleaned out all my notifications.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, and as mentioned before, this episode was sponsored by Loot Crate, so specifically Loot Gaming. If you want to go to lootcrate.com/filthycasuals, put the code in Filthy Casuals, you get $3 off a bloody new Loot Crate subscription.
Send us your ideas for what should be in Super Nintendo World, and we'll go through them next time. Thanks for listening. Keep sharing it around. Give us a review on iTunes and all that stuff. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
Super Nintendo World, I just bought my kid a Nintendo Entertainment System World. You're trying to rip me off, Nintendo. Now give me a chance to do another one.
No, that was good.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.